Bendo Radio is on now.
All right, welcome everybody to another edition of Infendo Radio. Today we have the usuals. We've got Scott and Harrison. How are you doing today, Harrison?
Oh, you know, what's up, America? Ready for some, finally, actually, we finally know the little things about the whole Wii U console right now, and just ready to talk a little bit more about where this thing's going to be going, and, you know, maybe, I don't know, share our pre-order stories if we've got any interesting ones.
That's right, a little bit more in-depth about, we know a lot more about the console, which is good. So, Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. You know, I'm just excited to finally get the Wii U in my hands eventually.
Yeah, well, without further ado, I think it's time we start this Wii U show, because that's basically what it's going to be today. I mean, we finally got all the details of the console. Well, most of the details of the console.
Some keywords. I mean, there's a little, vagueness over, like, you know, what exactly is powering this system right now. I mean, considering how that's still continuing to be the focal point as far as what, you know, is this thing underpowered or overpowered than today's current consoles, which, of course, you know, we always see a bevy of those headlines going in and out. I mean, I personally just want this to end.
Right, and then not only that, I mean, I seriously cannot believe that Nintendo is leaving us in the dark about their online, anything online on the console. I mean, it's a 2 months away, and we still really don't know how the thing is going to be, the online infrastructure at all. So that kind of worries me as well. But I mean, let's just kind of get into the nitty gritty of it. The deluxe bundle, if for those of you who haven't heard, or that, I mean, we'll just kind of run through all the little details on it. Obviously, you get the game console in black with a 32 gigabyte flash memory space, get the gamepad cradle, the gamepad stand, a Wii U console stand, a sensor bar, AC adapters, HDMI cable, and Nintendo Land. And basically the basic bundle, you get an 8 gigabyte box in white, and it's got a sensor bar, an AC adapter for the console and the gamepad, and an HDMI cable. So now, Scott, first impressions on the bundles. I mean, what do you think about this?
I think we were actually all pretty accurate on what the bundles would include. I mean, basically, I mean, some of us guessed that they would include more memory, less memory. Some of us figured it would include a few extras. Obviously, we didn't get the extra controllers like we were thinking in some of the higher models.
Right.
But we got a stand, we got a cradle, and we got some extras like that. Overall, I'm pretty satisfied with what we're getting here. It looks like that, you know, depending upon where you go, I forget what they added, but Walmart added an extra game, I believe it was, into a package they created.
Right.
But, you know, I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, for $50 more for the deluxe model, basically you're going to get four times the memory. You're going to get a game with it, and it comes in black instead of white.
That's right.
I think that's the one downside of it. I think they should have offered both the deluxe and the basic in black and white.
Right.
I personally like the black. You know, especially with this system, if it works as well as they say it's going to, and you can play the game on the actual gamepad while somebody else watches the TV or so on. I mean, we'll see how that works with some of the more intense graphic games and so on, if there's any sort of lag or whatnot. But you know, it's going to look better sitting on the living room TV rather than, you know, a white console would, you know, just blaring out at me. But
exactly,
I think overall, I'm really satisfied with it. I mean, I'm really liking what I'm seeing here. I've looked at some of the pre-orders for games on, you know, on various sites, Best Buy and so on. We've got a pretty decent selection of launch games too, and I think that, you know, towards Christmas and after the first year and so on, they'll stagger a lot of those. I think it was first 50 plus games that they're supposed to have during that time period.
Right.
And obviously, we can't all play 50 games in a weekend anyway, and beat them all and take our time and really get to experience them.
Right.
So staggering is probably the best way to go in this.
Right. I say, yeah, we I mean, most of us here have, like, you know, paying jobs so and bills to pay. So it's like, you know, quite a bit of overtime there to actually, you know, pay as much as we can. I mean, the whole 50 games launch lineup up here from, you know, from launch November to March is a substantial amount. And I like when we talked in the last podcast, I think I was, you know, I mentioned on there how, you know, Pikmin 3 might, you know, slip away from the whole launch lineup. And at the moment of this podcast posting, it's not listed on as far as a launch day, you know, lineup. I mean, it's still at this point, at this time, it's in the window. So again, like I said in the last podcast, I think this is a good decision because this enables to, you know, spread out more of like Nintendo's own published titles. Not just, I mean, of course, was it Lego City's Undercover still like the label stabled for, you know, that launch day, or is that just launch window?
You know what? I think it's launch window, but I think they were shooting for before Christmas. So who knows exactly what that means? But that game actually really intrigues me too. You're right. I mean, it's like a Grand Theft Auto with Lego characters. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and it's a finally, you know, a Lego title for exactly. I mean, you, like, kind of when the first, you know, Lego Star Wars titles came out, whatever. I mean, the whole concept was novel and it was cute, but it, to me, I feel like it's just gotten overused. It's like, you know, wore out its welcome, and thankfully with this one, and I'm actually glad Nintendo's publishing this, actually. So, I mean, it really kind of helps it out in a sense because, you know, having, I'm not sure how much is going to drive sales, but, you know, having just that, you know, Nintendo logo just on the box itself would just, you know, say, you know, to the, you know, average consumer, it's like, oh wow, Nintendo makes this, you know,
right.
And that itself could, you know, drive sales itself probably to the casual viewer. But
right.
Even the first two trailers that we've seen, it seems like, you know, the comedy itself and writing of the game could, you know, easily, it's cheesetastic, but, you know, it could definitely have one of those little bit of charms that the, you know, the Lego-sided franchise games actually have. So that I mentioned when they were previewing this on the event, you know, this could maybe be a sleeper hit, for instance, for like the console.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think that's kind of the key to the whole console is that, I mean, there are quite a few games within in this launch window that Nintendo's calling. By the way, that, I mean, how can you call until March launch window? Come on, Nintendo, throw us a bone here. But anyways,
right.
I digress. That's another point that I kind of frustrated about. But I mean, on launch we do have quite a few games, and like running down the list, a few of them really catch my eye. Like Zombie U is going to be a good one. Nintendo Land, I'm excited for. I'm actually even excited for the Lego game, even though that's not launch day. And then I'll probably end up picking up Rayman, and I don't know, something else if funds allow, but you know, I mean, there's quite a bit of games, a little bit of something for everybody, you know. And something that we haven't touched on quite yet is the price of the console. So the basic bundle is gonna launch right at $300 with the deluxe bundle at $350, and basically you're getting the game for the $50 extra plus the little added bonuses of the stands and, you know, little things that are kind of sweeten the deal. But I mean, how do you guys feel about the price? Are you guys picking up the basic or the deluxe? I mean, what do you feel about that, Scott? Which bundle are you going to pick up?
Definitely the deluxe. I mean, it's a $50 difference. I'm sure Nintendo Land by itself would probably be about a $60 game as it is anyway. $50-$60. So if it's included, it's just one, you know, one little extra perk, because plus the stands and the cradle, that's kind of a nice, I'm sure they'd sell probably about $15, $20, $25 each separately anyway.
Right.
But the big difference there, I think, is also the memory. I mean, instead of 8 gigs, you're going to get 32. I mean, obviously, we don't know how much memory the save games or the downloads, if what those even will be, you know, how much that's going to take. But I think that, you know, 32 in my mind is the way to go. I know there's been a lot of people kind of upset about the pricing on the system, but for me, 300 and 350 is definitely where it should be, and definitely, I mean, with the deluxe model, that's where I'm heading.
Right.
No, and I want to get to the issue of price. I mean, I personally, you know, pre-ordered the deluxe edition, and I kind of have a funny story to relate to my pre-order story, and I'll tell that a little bit just later on. But the one thing I found as far as when it came to the price, I mean, obviously, you know, like what Scott said, we were kind of, you know, dead on as far as our prediction, and, you know, the fact that this would definitely come in three different SKUs.
All right.
Two different SKUs, I'm sorry.
Right.
But it's the one thing I noticed through, you know, a couple people I follow on Twitter, or, you know, the few people I on my own Facebook page and through various, you know, message boards, you know, like NeoJaff or, you know, various like Nintendo or, you know, video game inspired, like, you know, IGN boards, for instance, once that price was announced, I mean, it seemed like it was split down the middle. You had those side on there that were very, you know, like, okay, this justifies kind of the price on the price of the console, you know, gives you options. You know, I feel like the basic set itself is, this is me though, at 8 gigs and itself its price, even without the bundle in there, that seems like one that's more poised to just the casual gamer in a sense, because, you know, you're going to get that set alone probably is a bit more, you know, price friendly for that kind of, like, that demographic. Now, when it comes to the whole deluxe edition, one thing I noticed when the other half was saying, you know, from a few people that I follow, saying, mentioned, oh, this is way overpriced, you know, they're going to sell this at a loss, and the reasoning behind that is, it's what's underneath the hood of the console, which, again, we still don't know. And, I mean, that seemed to be the bit of the, like, you know, the talking point on there. It's, you know, you're selling the $350 console that's, I'm putting this air quotes, possibly running on weaker hardware as to, like, this current generation, or, you know, could be as not. Right. Personally, I find myself to be in the bit of the middle camp on there. It's from, you know, a few reports, be it, you know, from, like, right now Nintendo has been, you know, going to be running the Unity engine on the Unity engine on the Wii U, which, right, is going to allow more independent developers to, like, more access to game for this console. But
which
also,
is great.
Yeah, it's great, and it could possibly open up this is just me, you know, talking, you know, out of my butt a little bit, but it could open up the possibility of maybe getting a better version of the Unreal Engine to come to this console. Now, right. Cliff Bleszinski of Epic Games, he mentioned that, you know, that he really likes where this console, like the Wii U consoles, is going. He's very intrigued by it, and he feels that people, like, you know, counting this, you know, saying Nintendo's Doom, for instance, it's really a bit of an afterthought. And plus, you have to say this, you never really should underestimate them. It when it comes to, like, you know, console making, you shouldn't. I mean, sure, we had
not.
Yeah, and we had that bit, whatever, when the 3DS released. I was skeptical, and you know what? It got off to the rough start that, you know, based on its launch lineup and its price. And, you know, we're here now. But is it really justifiable to, you know, egg on the price because of its power? Because when I hear these arguments, you know, these complaints, the one thing that comes to my mind is, well, okay, you're complaining about this price. Just imagine what the competitors are going to be in about a year. That itself kind of worried me a little bit, because when I saw that price, I'm like, oh man, I'm going to be possibly paying maybe $400 or $500 more, like $500 at most, for whatever Durango or Orbis is going to be, right, like, coming out in 2013.
Exactly. Yeah.
That scared me. Now, like, back to what I said, is that $350 price point, especially with the memory, which I was shocked at how much, you know, internal memory this thing has at 32 gigs, but in this stage, you think that maybe more memory could be at least a little bit more cheaper to put in there. Now, again, you can have an external, like Reggie Fils-Aimé went onto the record saying you could hook up a 3 terabyte like external hard drive.
Exactly.
Thing.
Yeah, and those things are super cheap at this point, anyways. External hard drives.
Exactly.
So
now would accept, like I said, is that $350 price point, you know, justifiable? Even though we're still unaware of what's underneath the underneath the hood. And, you know, its memory itself.
I'm sorry, what was that? I didn't quite hear you.
Oh, sorry. And, well, what I mentioned is, like, at a $350 price point, is the price justifiable at, you know, at the amount of internal software it has at 32 gigs, and the fact that, you know, we don't know how powerful this thing is?
You know, what I hearken this back to is, we're not exactly paying for the console, honestly. I mean, because it's got to have the guts of an Xbox 360 or a PlayStation 3, or on par with that. But if you look at the Japanese pricing of the gamepads, which they're going to sell separately in Japan, they're actually selling them for 1,300 yen, which is roughly $172. That's half
the
price of the console, you know? So that, I think that's where all the tech is going into the gamepad itself. So I think that people are kind of looking at it the wrong way. Yes, the hardware specs are obviously going to be important, but at this point, we really don't even know what Microsoft or Sony are planning. I mean, the way that they've been trending the last couple of years with the Kinect initiative, and then PlayStation Move, trying to gain that casual market that Nintendo has been so great with the Wii. Who knows if Microsoft or Sony are going to be trying to push the tech as much as – I mean, maybe they're going to be just a little bump above what the Wii U is, or even maybe on par with the Wii U and just do something completely different, like Scott was pointing out with Microsoft about that full room holographic or whatever thing that they filed a patent for a while back. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's going to be something completely different and not the tech at all. But, I mean, who am I to say? I just think that – what we really need to be focusing on is the gamepad and what game experiences that can be brought to the gamepad that weren't possible before, you know? And I think that's what Nintendo is banking on. That's what they were banking on with the Wii, and that really took off for them. And I think that with this tablet screen, it's really going to – I don't know. It's kind of tough to judge at this point, but I do think that they're going to have another hit on their hands. I really do.
I think – Well, I think that we're kind of disagreeing and kind of, you know, questioning the unknown at this point. I mean, obviously it's got to be somewhat powerful because it's going to play some HD games on there. So if it's not powerful enough to play the HD games seamlessly, you know, it's going to fail immediately. So I got to think that Nintendo's really put the thought on that, and they wouldn't hit launch it until it's ready to play those. So I'm actually not too concerned about the internals. I have a lot of faith in Nintendo for that, and believe that they're going to make it work and they're going to, you know, make it successful. Memory was a little bit of a concern for me at first because you've got a system here, a brand new system that maxes out internally at 32 gigabytes.
Mm-hmm.
When you have, you know, PlayStation and Xbox with a much, much bigger hard drives. Of course, you know, each of those hard drives you can on the Xbox, for example, you can take it off, buy a new one, and so on from there. But, you know, the big thing there is that, you know, you can hook an external up to it. So what Nintendo did is instead of spending money on the memory on the device, they're leaving that up to the user. And right. And that's great. I mean, if you don't need a 250 gigabyte hard drive, stick with a 32 or the 8. But if you're a hardcore gamer that needs all that space, you can go out and get it. And as you said, they're very inexpensive right now. So it's not like you're going to, you know, break the bank on that. I think another thing we need to look at, too, here is that you know, for a brand new system with a brand new controller with brand new features and capabilities that haven't been out there before, we're going to pay about $350 on the max right now for the system itself. Sony actually just is launching just before the Wii U release date a new PS3 Slim,
mm-hmm.
which is going to start selling at $269 for a 250 gigabyte version, I believe. Actually, I believe that one's a 160 gigabyte version. And it's going to be $299 for the higher version, which I believe is 500 gigabytes. So $300 for the exact same system with probably more memory, and it's, of course, going to have a slightly different look to it and whatnot. But, I mean, we're looking at an older system for $300 and a brand new system starting at $300. So, right. I mean, I got to think that, you know, I'm going with Nintendo on this one. I'm really liking the price.
Yeah, and I mean, you look back in the history, and the Xbox 360 launched at $299 back in 2005 for the core system, which had I don't even remember if that even had a hard drive. Actually,
it didn't. It did not.
No,
it
did.
No hard drive on it at all. And then you had to pay $100 more at $399 just to get a 20 gigabyte hard drive. Obviously, I mean, that was years ago. That was more 7 years ago, just about. So technology has definitely evolved since then. But I mean, even still, you got to look back at that, and I think Nintendo is hitting a really good spot here with these prices. Honestly, if people are really concerned about the price and they can just pay for the core system and then, you know, kind of build their library from there, if they run out of space on that 8 gigabyte Wii console, they can use SD cards or they can use an external hard drive. I mean, I think that it's really going to hit home this holiday season with obviously because there's not another new console launching. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch the Wii U evolve over the next couple of years.
It is. And the one thing when I meant back in the whole memory issue, I think when it comes to the whole how it's very underpowered as far as when it comes to, like, you know, internal memory, but yet we can upgrade through, you know, various means. It's just, I think it's come to the convenience. I think some people feel like, you know, they don't want to have to go out and buy another, like, hard drive to actually do that. They want that all in the box. I think that's what it comes down to. And plus, like I said, you know, it's not that expensive to actually include more memory. That's what kind of, like, you know, throws me off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if if for some reason, you know, if like the basic set, for instance, was just 32 gigs, and for instance, the deluxe set was double of that, you know what, I could live with that. I could actually live with that, whatever, because I have an Xbox 360 at the currently moment with 120 gigs, and I mean, I play a lot of games on that, and I download a lot, and I'm not even at half of that.
Right.
Right.
I'm not even half of that after about maybe 5.5 years of owning that console. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to back to the price, though, you know, when you have your competitors coming out in the end of 2013, and this is one little thing that's been getting thrown around, you know, from, you know, various analysts, is are they going to have to like drop the price of this in a year or now? Because once we know what's the graphic limitations of this like console, and once we figure out what it's going up against its like competitors, are they going to have to, you know, when you have your competition coming out to do this, you know, to cut a price, whatever? I mean, have an unprecedented price cut, you know, maybe less than a year into it. I'm not saying it's going to happen like in March or June, but could we possibly see this maybe like, you know, in November or so? I mean, I think it's too early. It's too early to say that because we have to see how this thing's going to be selling. I mean, if this thing is like selling at a snail's pace, what the 3DS did, yeah, you could probably see that.
Right. I don't know though. I mean, I'm not sure if they'll have to lower the price. I mean, looking at it, as Eugene said, we should probably focus more on the gamepad itself than the system, as far as the selling point on this device. I know that, you know, in my household, I mean, not so much me because I'm a gamer myself, but if we are, you know, in the living room watching a movie, or if maybe there's, you know, my wife's watching, you know, a news station or something like that, if the kids or myself want to play video games, right now our only option is to, you know, go into the game room, you know, leave everybody else, lock herself up in a little cave and play a game and so on. With this system, potentially we could be playing on the gamepad while she's watching TV. Maybe not right out of the box, maybe it will be. I mean, I guess it's still a little unclear on that, but you know, that's a huge, huge selling point for the system, along with all the other things, you know, keeping families involved and using it for other aspects of gaming and so on. But I think that we've got a couple things working on here against us too. One, Nintendo's they're first out with a brand new console, a next gen console, so that already puts them ahead of the game. So the biggest thing is to get it launched here, and then keep the excitement, keep the buzz up with new games, new peripherals, whatever else they have to throw at us throughout the time frame. But in the meantime, they have some time to, you know, build up their arsenal, so that way when PlayStation and Xbox do release something else, it's not the same old system. There's something else new and improved to bring out with it and so on. You know, one thing that's kind of interesting is the last time that Sony released the PlayStation 3, about a year before the PlayStation 3 was announced, they released the PS2 Slim. So here it is. We've released the PS2 Slim now, or the PS3 Slim is coming out here shortly. And does that mean that the PS4 or whatever we're going to call it when it comes out, is that going to come out, you know, 1 year from now, basically? If so, you know, we've got Nintendo dominating this holiday season with their new console. Then we've got PlayStation dominating the next holiday season. So I think that, you know, regardless of what happens, PlayStation and Microsoft, they're both going to release something that, you know, potentially is going to be either slightly better or way better than what the Wii U is capable of, because they'll have time to get the Wii U's in their hands, to try it out, to know exactly what the insides of the systems are, what the outsides are, what the feedback is, and build their next product off of that feedback and technology. So obviously they're going to strive to be better out of the box, but Nintendo has a lot of time to build up an arsenal to combat that when that time comes. So I think there's definitely a lot that we have to see in the future for this. So maybe we'll see a price decrease, but I'm not sure that we will.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's kind of one of Nintendo's it's kind of smart of them. I mean, they're launching the console a year at least before these other consoles are going to launch. And at that point, they can decide whether or not they want to undercut those consoles around, I don't know, Christmas time or whenever they launch. And then the consumer will have to choose. I mean, well, I see this Wii U here, and it's going to be $100 less perhaps than anything else that's being launched on the market, and that's something that that they can decide on at that point, you know. Or like Harrison was saying, if it's not selling at all, then they can obviously choose to lower the price like they did with the 3DS. I mean, I think they've chose this price because it's going to give them a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah, it has, and it will do that. And, you know, when I go back to the whole, you know, visuals and graphics like department, I mean, I think one bigger problem, though, is, like, yeah, you have this good third-party support that this con- – I mean, I probably the best that Nintendo has had for, like, the release for any, like, home console they had in their history. It just – you have that fear of, okay, a year goes by, and whatever you have, Durango and Orbis, are going to be, like, you know, Microsoft and Sony's, like, you know, next consoles, what they're – how powerful they are, you know, it's that fear of third parties jumping ship, you know, when they can't, you know, when it comes down to ports, you know, are Nintendo port, like port Wii U ports going to be so underpowered that we may end up seeing a drought?
Right.
No, I mean, that's the lingering fear itself. I mean, probably the one big, well, obviously, you know, the one big third party exclusive that we did hear from the show was, you know, Bayonetta 2. And that itself was, you know, shocking to me. I mean, I barely played for the first one, and, you know, after this announcement, I'm going to go back out and buy the original on my 360 and play through that probably beforehand. But, good Lord, I saw the negative feedback from, you know, I mean, I...
That
I,
was
I,
crazy to me. I didn't know why. I mean, obviously people have... I have purchased the game on other consoles, but I mean, my goodness, it was Nintendo. I don't know if people have heard the story behind it, but that game was not going to be made. That game was dead in the water. Sega had turned it down, and Nintendo stepped in and bought the license to the game, and they're now working with Platinum Games, and they're going to publish it for them. And basically, they're giving their money to help develop that game. So I don't see why these fans are so up in arms, because without Nintendo, the game would not even be made, period.
I think it comes down to the fact that, like, yeah, they were hoping that this would be releasing on, you know, current consoles right now, again, as far as a sequel, but it's, like you said, the negative feedback from fans saying, like, oh, Platinum Games and, you know, have betrayed them, saying, like, why are you releasing this and have an exclusive? I think we're all forgetting the fact that right now that this is how the console wars work, because, yeah. I mean, I right. remember back from a generation, like, the last generation with the 360, PS2, and the GameCube, that itself was a battleground when it came to exclusives. I myself remember, I mean, I never owned an original Xbox. I mean, the only time I ever played that, ever had access to it was a friend's house, you know, and when the exclusives started churning out for that, you know, for instance, like, one title comes for mind to me, this is not including first-party titles or anything like that, but it was Panzer Dragoon Orta.
Right.
That itself was
that.
One of the mm-hmm. I really wanted to play on there. Obviously, you know, it flopped on the console because it was because of bad marketing, but that was one of those few titles on there. I mean, take, for instance, like, for the PlayStation 3, Metal Gear Solid 4. I wanted to buy that console solely because of that, but, you know, mm-hmm. I live in a two-console world, you know, as far as my price, because of my budget. Now, it just comes down to, you know, several gamers out there, you know, the people out there who just feel like they're entitled to something. Mm-hmm. They feel like they just don't want to go out and buy another console, whatever, just to play this, and they have to remain the fact, you know, this is a bit of a way, this is a way, this may not even come out next year, so... Right. That it just seems very, you know, just frivolous to actually, you know, whine and complain about this. I mean, be like you said, Eugene, be thankful that this game exists right now, because yeah. when Sega was right. going through financial trouble like this year, the only titles that they're going to be keeping were just their in-house development games, you know, for just Sonic, for instance, that comes to mind. And this one was not on the list. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it was dead on arrival, and then Nintendo came in and just saved it. So itself... thank them for keeping this franchise alive.
That's right. And, you know, speaking of the games, I mean, we can kind of go through the list a little bit of the games that are going to be coming out on launch. And I really do think that it's a great launch for Nintendo. There's, on launch day, there's 20-plus games. I mean, going through some of the ones that stand out to me are like Assassin's Creed 3. That's great that we're getting that on launch. Call of Duty Black Ops. You'd look at Darksiders, which is already out. Epic Mickey, which I forgot about that one. I don't know if I'm going to pick that up on launch, but I'm definitely going to play it on Wii U. And, I mean, the list goes on. New Super Mario Bros. U, Nintendo Land, you have Rayman Legends, Scribblenauts Unlimited. There's even, like, in Tekken Tag Tournament 2, there's exclusive Nintendo content in there. I mean, it's great. I mean, there's kind of something for anybody.
Am I the only yeah. one with those Tekken Tag Tournament costumes when it comes the ones with Mario and Luigi? They're very disturbing.
They kind of are.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true. And then the Link one, even the I don't even remember which character it was wearing the Link costume, but I was like, that just is it's weird. I don't really.
It was the nose. It wasn't just the costumes itself. It was the noses. And when I looked at it, I was like, that is forever scarred into my mind. It's. I mean, It's like, you know, I'm sure, I mean, I have friends who are playing the current console version right now of Tekken Tag 2, and when I watch that, I'm like, you're really making it hard for me to buy that just to not to, because I'm really scared of having that on my screen.
Right. What do any of these titles stand out to you? Like, what games do you all think that you're going to pick up on launch?
Well, I think definitely, you know, new Super Mario Bros. U. I think that's kind of a must-have for anybody who buys a system, you know, yeah. Regardless of which one you get. You know, Zombie U, it looks like it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait for that one. You know, I think that not for myself because I can't dance at all, but for, like, the kids, Just Dance 4. I mean, that'll be an instant hit. Mm-hmm. Myself, you know, I'm pretty much – might as well just strap boards to my arms and legs and try to play the game. But other than that, I mean, Epic Mickey 2 really stands out. Again, I think like you, it's not something I'd get launch day, but it's definitely something that would be on my list. You know, other than that, I'm liking the Marvel Avengers Battle for Earth. You know, that looks really, really good. And then other than that, you know, I'm really liking the Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I like Mario Kart, don't get me wrong, but this game, just looking at the trailer for it, looks fantastic.
Right, yeah. I can't overstate it enough that I really think that it's just going to be a fantastic launch. I mean, you look back in the past of Nintendo's past launches, and some of them have been pretty poor. I mean, Nintendo 64 had 2 games for crying out loud here in the United States.
I forgot about that. It was just like, yeah, it was Mario 64 and Pilot Wings 64.
Yeah.
I could have assumed whatever I think was like Doom 64 or Mortal Kombat Trilogy at the time release, but obviously I was wrong. But wow, that it just kind of shows how slim pickings whatever, and I mean how bad whatever, especially when that console was releasing, that they were banking on, you know, Mario 64 really pushing the console, and it did.
Mm-hmm.
yeah Well, I think right here we have 22 games here on launch day, and it's not one genre, it's a mix of everything. I mean, there's sports, there's action, I mean everything's here. So I think that regardless of who buys the system, you know, they're going to be happy. So I'm loving the launch titles. And then if you go into the launch window, you know, again, launch window is probably more of like a launch sliding glass door or something. It's huge. But, you know, I'm wondering if they're calling it a launch window, if they're kind of expecting something like with the original Wii where you just can't get it. So that window has to be wide open because it's there. I mean, the system sold out basically within a day or two of pre-order.
For pre-orders. That was surprising to me. GameStop stopped taking pre-orders of the Deluxe like the day that it was announced.
Exactly. So, I mean, who knows what that's going to look like? I mean, obviously, I would hope, I shouldn't say obviously, but I would hope that they're going to have some more stock levels built up for, you know, the Black Fridays, and then, you know, building up until the holidays and hopefully shortly after the first of the year. But will they be as limited as they were with the Wii? I mean, I'm kind of thinking that they might be, unless they kind of gave a false impression of how many they have in stock. Maybe they're saving them for later on, but it's hard to tell.
And, you know, I was working at GameStop at the time right after the Wii launched. And then I worked there for 4 years, and for the first 2 years of my employee there, it was hard to find a Wii anywhere. I mean, not just at GameStop, like we had wait lists for years, and it was just crazy how popular the system ended up being. Will the Wii U do the same as the original Wii? Who knows? It's too early to tell, but I mean, so far I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Definitely. You know, for the original Wii, I actually got lucky on that one. My wife and I were in Target just doing some Christmas shopping, and we're walking through the electronics, and the guy opened up a box and pulled out a Wii. And
oh, goodness.
And he's like, oh, it looks like it just got 3 in. I'm like, well, you've only got 2 left now. I mean, yeah. So,
it's like, I'm snatching that up now. Sorry.
Exactly.
Now, for me, I mean, when it comes to those launch lap, I mean, I do like it, but there are good titles out on there. I mean, you obviously, you know, well, I'm kind of a little still mixed on Zombie U, though. I feel like it's still in that middle ground. I mean, obviously, you played it, Eugene, and you have a very different opinion as far as it is. But, I mean, I always get this fear, but well, not fear, but I this feeling that as far as, like, could this be, you know, the Wii's real Red Steel? I mean, as far as, like, you know, the text there, I mean, the concept's there, but the execution's just poor. I mean, I'm hoping that doesn't really go that way, but I mean, it's probably one of the, I mean, because, you know, Ubisoft has been one of those few, like, developers that, I mean, well, console makers that have actually stayed on with it. I mean, but it's, for, like, last generation, it wasn't as good as what we wanted it to be. Now, when I'm looking at the titles, though, there really isn't, I mean, this is just the launch, there really isn't a, per se, a triple A title on there. No, you readers and listeners may disagree, like, oh, well, there's, you know, there's Rayman Legends, and there's, like, you know, Super Mario Brothers U, right. New Super Mario Brothers U, but I'm talking, I mean, I'm saying as far as, like, the one that, you know, no matter what, there's gonna be that one title that everybody's going to buy. There's not that, right. You know, there's not that Twilight Princess, there's not that Mario exactly. 64, there's not that, Super Smash Brothers Melee. That's right. Itself, that's why kind of, like, very, you know, that little disappointing about that, because when I pre-ordered mine, and this is, you know, I'm gonna might as well get into my pre-order story right now, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I mean, I pre-ordered the deluxe edition, but I haven't decided on a launch game that I'm gonna buy right now. I mean, I'm still kind of torn. You know, conventional wisdom would probably say, like, you know what, I'll pick up the Mario title, but I'm probably looking more at Rayman Legends, which, correct me if I'm wrong, whatever, but that's still, yeah, isn't that still for, like, you know, for launch, or is that still launch window?
Because it's launch.
Okay, good, because I saw, like, two different, because the first little initial, like, launch release list, I saw concerning reports, but I guess that was from a different region. But anyway, to my pre-order story. Now, I didn't end up pre-ordering mine until, like, a day after the initial announcement, but mm-hmm. to get you into this, I was under the idea, I'm like, you know what, maybe I'll just, like, wait in line, not with a pre-order or whatever, but, because I like launch day events, whatever, I like having that fear of, like, am I going to get this or am I going to get it?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I waited, when I bought the original Wii, I waited with, like, 12 other, like, 15 other people inside a lawn and garden in, like, a cold November, like, day. And so we're all sitting in lawn chairs. I mean, thankfully it wasn't, like, you know, what my friends dealt with when they bought, like, a PS3, because when they had a limited stock of those, which I believe was, like, maybe six were coming in on the, like, launch day, and you, like, there was a, like, a line of chairs, you sat down on there, but the thing is, you couldn't get up from your chair.
Yeah.
Whereas with the Wii, when I was in there, well, like, when, luckily my local Walmart was allowing us to walk around, you know, because, you know, we're sitting our butts there for all day, you know,
yeah.
Some people have their laptops out watching movies and stuff, I was just sitting there reading a book, whatever, to pass the time. I mean, mm-hmm. I had to call out of work that day just say, like, what are you doing? I have a family emergency.
Yeah.
You know, I lie. I mean, I was bad at lying until they found the next day, and they're like, you waited for the Wii, didn't you? I was like, yeah, I'm
kind of did.
Sorry. I kind of did, you know, whatever, but I digress. But with, like, the PS3, though, if you got out of your seat, somebody else could come up there and take your own seat, whatever, be it if somebody was there for, like, you know, just got there. That itself was just a, like, you know, very cutthroat.
Yeah.
And thankfully I didn't deal with that. But back to the whole Wii, back to my Wii U pre-story. I didn't pre-order through GameStop, but I originally was going to.
Uh-huh.
Around, I think it was, like, Friday morning, after initial reports saying, like, oh, these are selling up pretty quick, or these are selling pretty fast, and I called my local GameStop, which, of course, was 45 miles away from me.
Oh, gosh.
Now, I work in the air. Yeah, it's, I live in the boonies, so basically any of these types of places are very unheard of. Now, I call them up and I assume, like, okay, I had my credit card ready, assuming I would be able to order, you know, do it through the phone. And they said, you know, we don't do phone pre-orders, you have to do it in person. And I mentioned, like, oh, but you better get here, these are going to be out quick. I'm like, okay, I work tomorrow, I'll be there, you know, right after I get out of work, you know, plop down my card and do the deluxe edition. Okay, we'll see you there.
Yeah.
Later that night, I'm, you know, out at a bar with my sister and her boyfriend. You know, I decided to be their designated driver for the night. So we're out, you know, just having a few beers, whatever, and I'm checking my Twitter feed. This is around 12:30, 12:45 at night.
Uh-huh.
And I'm checking my Twitter feed, and I see about, and I decided to check it through the Wii U, like, you know, hashtag.
Uh-huh.
And five stories pop up on there saying about how, oh, GameStop and all these other stores have sold out.
Oh, gosh.
And at this point, I'm like, oh, God. And, like, at this point, I'm having a real-life panic attack. You know, I'm putting my – I'm the next thing you know, I chug my beer and you know, I'm in the middle of a conversation with like some random stranger at this point, whatever. It's like, and at this point, I'm like, excuse me, but I have to take care of some business right now. I walk outside, get on my phone, and I'm thinking like, oh God, oh God, oh God, what do I do? What do I do? And obviously, I couldn't just go drive to some nearest store and just because it was late at night, everything was closed. And the thing popped in my head. I'm like, wait a minute, I haven't been to Best Buy in years, whatever. So I get on my phone, and luckily enough, I pre-ordered like. You know, pre-order the thing like off through Best Buy, the deluxe edition.
Uh-huh.
And then the morning I went to work, they were initially sold out, so I had dodged a bullet there. But
right.
I pre-ordered that for store pickup, so that way I can actually, you know, it, like have the, like the store experience. I mean, hopefully I'm not that kind of person who goes up there probably at midnight, just like knocking on the doors late at night, like let me in,
yeah,
let me in, I need this.
See, call me a fool, but I actually did not pre-order a Wii U console. I'm gonna just take my chances, go to I already have the day off that day. When the Wii launched, I plan on just camping out at my Walmart, at a Walmart or one of the stores, and just hope for the best, you know. But regardless, it should be a fun experience because I'm sure I'll meet a lot of people with 3DSs. We'll play some Mario Kart or something. So should be good times.
See,
but
when I end up pre-ordering that, whatever. I mean, the one thing that I asked GameStop employees when they said, "Okay, if this does sell out, will you still have some probably in store?" And like, this is the one thing that really kind of scared me a little bit was. The only ones we'll probably have on sale, though, if people are going to be lining up without a pre-order, is just going to be the basic set.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, and I'm. Are you dead set on getting either one? Or are you really hoping to get like the deluxe edition?
I really want the deluxe edition, and I imagine that Walmart will have a couple. But I mean, I'll take the basic if that's all they have. You know, I mean, I won't be super happy about it, but I'll have a Wii U, and I'll get over
right.
that eventually. You know, but I don't know. I was kind of on the fence about pre-ordering because I was hoping that Amazon was going to open up pre-orders, but then that whole debacle with Amazon and Nintendo's kind of been ongoing, so they're, who knows if they'll ever release pre-orders for the Wii U, or much less sell them. And then by the time I decided that I did want to pre-order one, they were all out. I was like, oh goodness, well, I guess I'm just going to have to take my chances waiting in line, which is fine.
Yeah, it is. It's just once the initial giants fell as far as like pre-orders, it's like, you know, GameStop, Best Buy, then Target, and I think Walmart is still selling them, but I think it like the basic set bundle.
Basic.
Right.
You can do the on Walmart.com. You can do an additional bundle that includes. I think Scott was talking about this. Includes a second game, and then you have to buy an accessory for it as well. So then it actually ends up being like $500 after all said and done. And I wasn't willing to fork over that cash for one. So I'll just take my chance and see what happens. You know.
I think it's only a $10 savings if you buy the Walmart bundle anyway, so it's very minimal.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
It is. And what was the one thing? Oh, I wanted to mention this earlier. The one thing that was included with the deluxe set is the because I didn't really see in the initial like the picture or whatever when they showed during the conference the stand. It's just two pieces of
plastic.
And I'm thinking to myself, it's not like a cradle or whatever like that the Wii had. And I looked at that, and I just said to myself, I'm going to lose those things within a month or two or so. I mean, I could just see – like I'm probably just going to be having that thing like just on horizontally probably for the remainder probably, you know, once I get it. But that itself – but one thing I think we forgot to mention was in the Deluxe Edition, a Nintendo Network Premium membership is, included with that.
Oh, that's
That's right.
Yeah, that and I don't know exactly all the details on it, but it's something like the downloadable games that you purchase, you get like some kind of points or something, or
you get 10% off like certain games that you buy, so or off games you buy, and I believe it's only for 2 years or so. Now, in like and this also brings me up to one thing I'm not sure we're about to talk to the announcement of like the third pillar probably of during well not third pillar as far as a console, but the introduction of Nintendo TV, not mm-hmm. with the and that's with two eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
E. Yeah.
The plenary.
That's actually kind of interesting. I don't know exactly how it's gonna work. I mean, because obviously you have to like subscribe to. I don't know, whatever. It's going to go through your satellite or cable company, and then I imagine it'll just kind of shoot the IR from the Wii remote or from the gamepad to like control the satellite set-top box or however it works that way. But yeah, it's kind of interesting that they're kind of trying to make the Wii U more than a game console that way. You know, I mean, they're doing stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what excited me the most about it once they announced that. It's like this just – I mean, obviously they were playing a game of – you know, obviously when they're announcing this stuff, it just showed it was glaring that Nintendo was obviously, you know, playing catch-up in this kind of department. But, you know, when you have people who say that, you know, doubt that, but you have to say to yourself, you know, it's better than nothing. Because the whole interface itself, I mean, I could definitely be seeing myself using this a lot. And not only that, for, like, live sporting events. One thing that I noticed on there, like, once you actually have the sports tab out, is that you have your own set of stats on there from the game, and I believe you can also just watch the game on the side of, the gamepad or on your TV. That itself is what I like the most about it, because the integration. I mean, this is one thing that really Nintendo wants to do with this device, not only trying to provide, you know, the games that we all know and love, but to also turn this into, like, a very, you know, a reliable, you know, entertainment center. It itself is, you know, trying to replace the cable box for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, yeah. I mean, would you guys actually see yourself using this service probably a lot more? Probably if you did have your subscriptions to, like, Hulu Plus, Netflix, and then, of course, if you had your own DVR.
It depends on the functionality of it for me. I mean, like, the ease of use, and I mean, we don't really know much about it besides a couple of screenshots. If it works well and it works fast and it helps to, you know, manage my content that I have, like, through my Netflix and through the other satellite box or whatever to help me find things that are on television, then yeah, sure. And one of the great things is that Nintendo did announce that all the major satellite companies are on board, and a lot of the cable companies, so that's your Dish Networks and your DirecTVs, that'll work day one for the Wii TV, so that's kind of interesting. But we still don't know exactly how it's going to work or what it's going to do. So, I mean, I'm excited, but I'm a little tepid in my excitement.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I can see that concern, but also you can at least Eugene and I, Eugene, we can agree on this, though. When we watched during the conference, and we all couldn't help but, you know, get excited, whatever, when the bad screen was on that TV demonstration, when Reggie said he recommended it. I was like, I love you. I seriously do when you mention this.
That's right. And you know what? Now that I think about it, if they for some way they're able to, like, get, like, my Breaking Bad or whatever showing on my my satellite TV onto my gamepad, so then I can kind of, like, watch it in bed, like, watch Champions League or something on the gamepad, that'd be cool. I mean, that'd be interesting. I mean, that's something that's never been attempted before, and that would be really neat.
I think for myself, I'm not expecting a huge deal out of the TV at first.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think that there's going to be a huge potential there. I mean, with us seeing their demo, the demo looked awesome. I mean, if it is exactly like the demo for everything, it's going to way exceed my expectations. But I think there will be some work. I mean, the partnerships with the cable companies and the satellite companies and so on. You know, that's going to be key here for them to get additional content and so on. You know, they've got to maybe plan ahead with programming and so on. I mean, it's great, I think, especially when it comes to the sports portion of it, you know, being able to use it to get the extra stats and so on. Obviously, there has to be a connection between Nintendo and whichever station or satellite or cable provider is showing that game to bring those real-time stats to you. But, you know, I think it could be great. I mean, just, you know, watching, you know, for example, the Notre Dame game yesterday against Michigan, you know, watching replays and seeing stats and everything on there, you know,
that would have been
fantastic. I mean, not that the game wasn't fantastic anyway, but, you know, when it comes down to it. But even with shows, I mean, getting to maybe being able to see, like, some history, like, you know, watching Supernatural on there and –
right.
And something comes up and it maybe refers to a past episode, maybe getting some sort of hint as to or reminder as to what episode that was and what it's referring to or anything, really. I mean, I think that, you know, I want to have really high hopes for it, but until I actually see it and see it in action, I don't want to hype myself up too much for it. But I think deep down inside, I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, and I think the best usage of it is going to be in sports, honestly, because you're going to be able to see stats and you're going to be able to check out other game scores and, you know, things like that. I think that's where it's going to really shine.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, I did that. I really do that. That itself is one that I'm really liking about whatever. I mean, like I said, with the integrate, like the, you know, keyword I thought with the conference was, you know, integration.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was all these things that are going to be connected, and obviously, you know, the online infrastructure, Nintendo Network for that console is, you know, the one big thing that we still don't know a lot about, and I did address that in my little editorial that I wrote, you know, the day of the conference. And obviously, you know, from readers pointed out, to say this to readers, yes, a few of those concerns have been, you know, answered for us to a certain extent. It's just online and whether or not, like, that conference, you know, got everybody, you know, excited as what Nintendo wanted to be planned for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the online itself. You know, you feel like they announce all this thing, and yet it feels like, you know, a politician, for instance, when they're telling you, like, what they're trying to, like, their plans for when they get in the office, and it's like, oh, yeah, when are you doing this? I'll tell you when we get in office or something like that. And I'm like, you got to tell us how this, like, network's going to be. I mean, you can't have another debacle when the 3DS launched and there was no eShop to go along with it. I mean, we waited at least 2-3 months before that was actually on the whole handheld, and yet this is one thing I'm really wanting to see how it is. I'm excited to see Nintendo make a really headstand charge of having, like, an online infrastructure that not necessarily rivals Xbox, like Xbox Live, but one that can, you know, go alongside with it. I mean, one that I can actually, if I have the next Xbox, for instance, I can still go to Live as my main primary online source. But I just don't want to see Nintendo, you know, just left behind again.
Absolutely, and that's what that really does worry me. I mean, because we. I mean, even during when they were playing Call of Duty Black Ops 2, and there was any asked questions about the online, Nintendo basically just shoved it under the rug and said, "All right, next question, please." And that's kind of concerning to me. It doesn't bode well for the launch of the system for the online. Granted, who knows? It could be the best thing ever. But I mean, I'm judging by Nintendo's recent past with their online infrastructure, I am worried. I really am.
Yeah, I think I agree too. I mean, that's something that definitely I'll have to see to believe when it comes out to it. I mean, I would love there to be a huge, huge interactive online community. You know, get away from friend codes and so on from there, and be able to, you know, obviously have your own gamer tag and find your friends that way instead of a set of, you know, numbers and letters and so on. But also, I would like to see it a little bit more, I guess, social in a way where, you know, if you're playing random opponents online and they, you know, you kind of become, you know, kind of hit it off in the game and so on, you know, find a way to be able to, you know, talk to each other, get to know each other. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, the whole social network thing like was mentioned in one rumor where it's, you know, the next Facebook or the next Twitter or whatnot. Yeah. I don't think they have to go that far, but really, really bring a camaraderie a bit against the gamers within the Nintendo community, and you know, have maybe parental controls for younger kids so they can't, you know, talk to certain people on there or mm-hmm. you know, whatever it happens to be. But I think that they really have to give us a full effect you know, online community in order to really hit home with it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I dealt with friend codes because that's all there was, but at this point, I don't think that I'm ready for that. I'm not ready for that again. I mean, if I have to, sure, I will. Will I like it? Absolutely not. I mean, we're in a world where Steam is doing online gaming just fine. Xbox 360 is obviously leading the charge on the console front. I mean, that's the kind of the go-to online experience. Even PlayStation Network, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even PSN, as far as its, like, security breaches, it's still, you know, it's still a decent online market, but, you know, even though it's still playing catch-up to what Live has set the precedent for, but it's something I would like to see, you know, Nintendo do, like, a structure that's there, something that's, you know, connected to all this user base as far as, you know, games, and not just set to just, oh, here's your software and here's your code, or here's only – I don't want it to go the way as like, oh, each developer has to set up their own online infrastructure – like online, you know, like a system. That itself, I feel like, you know, you're just getting too many doorways for things to get everything, like, you know, flooded and just kind of – really confusing for, you know, not only just the hardcore gamer, but also just the casual one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's, well, I mean, like I said, I guess it's kind of a wait and see thing. I it's disappointing that they didn't just come out and tell us at this conference. I mean, they would have been a great opportunity to run us through exactly what their online is going to be like, because you figure that if it's going to launch with the console, they kind of already have an idea of how it's going to work. And maybe they're saving that for later. Maybe it's going to be in a Nintendo Direct next month or something. Who knows? But
That could be. I mean, looking at the list of launch day games, I mean, there's a good portion of these games that could have a lot of online content. I mean, obviously, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Tekken Tag Tournament could have an online community there, and Sonic All-Stars Racing, and a lot of them on there. But there's some of them that probably aren't. I mean, there's going to be the Just Dance 4. It's probably not going to be a huge online community for that. Same thing with Epic Mickey 2 and mm-hmm. so on. But I think that, you know, at launch day, maybe they don't have to. I mean, maybe when they get to the launch window, I think in that portion of the launch, they have to do something with it. But I think you're right. Maybe instead of letting everything out all at once, little by little it seems to be their strategy on this launch. And I think it's working out pretty well for them. I mean, obviously, the system sold out within the first day or two.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously, what they've given us so far has been enough for that.
Right.
So they've got to keep doing little by little. I think if they gave us everything at once, why else would we be going back to these Nintendo Directs and everything? I mean, sure, there'd be stuff that we'd want to see, but they wouldn't be as exciting. There wouldn't be as much of a mystery behind it.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping for as well. A Nintendo Direct presentation, and that is probably going to be briefly describing that. I mean, I think we're already promised that. I mean, well, Iwata and both Reggie had mentioned that, you know, when pressed with the idea of online, they're going to actually, you know, tell us this probably once the launch gets a little closer. But like we said, you know, how is this thing going to be? You know, from several developers, they're saying they like it's very streamlined pretty well. Fans are going to be very proud of it. But then, of course, those are the discerning, like there's also the opposite of it, saying like, you know, they're still rushing to get this together, you know, and which I hope is not that. I hope the latter is not the case.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, beyond the online, I mean, Nintendo, they obviously have their work cut out for them in that point. And we kind of, I think we talked about it a little bit before about how they hired this guy from Disney Interactive to head up their online business. So hopefully this guy is doing his job, and he's got some great ideas for what to do next with the online system. And I guess we'll see from there, you know. I mean, there's still this Miiverse that's kind of we don't really know much about, aside from that it's going to have – I mean, what we saw at E3. So hopefully that'll – I mean, maybe that'll be a game changer in itself, you know.
Exactly. I mean, it's always good to branch out into – you know, new areas like that. I mean, the fact that they brought somebody in who knows the community and knows what he's doing, you know, to build that community, that's a huge, huge plus. The only thing that I'm worried about there is, you know, what is it going to include? I mean, obviously he's from Disney, and they're a little bit more, I guess, a little bit more strict on, you know, the rules and the guidelines and what can and can't be done,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is great, you know, for the system. Don't get me wrong, Nintendo's always been a family-friendly system. But when you get to games like the, you know, the Call of Duty, I mean, obviously, if you're playing that online, you don't want, you know, to shoot an opponent, do it, I mean, you know, have a headshot, and mm-hmm. you know, he just fall to the ground. You almost want to see, you want to see blood, you want to mm-hmm. see guts, you want to see everything. Mm-hmm. I hope that it doesn't go back to, you know, Mortal Kombat on the NES, where
right.
you know, nothing happens really. You just fall to the ground. I mean, I hope they don't take it that route. So. I guess we'll wait and see, but times are different. Hopefully a little blood will make it in there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't see Capcom releasing a Call of Duty without that. I mean, maybe they will. I mean, don't count your chickens, but, that would be a disaster. Oh my gosh.
I can see you falling. You can a headshot, your opponent falls, and you know, one of the boos from Mario will be
Yeah, that's right.
And then you have, it's like, do-do-do-do-do-do.
And then you have the Lakitu, the little cloud guy that respawns you.
You hear that, and it's like, that kid is where the Nintendo's, and that kid is how Nintendo, like, lost the console wars.
Yeah, right.
But you're also hearing a lot of people right now saying, wow, I want to see that hack.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Well, so what are all of our final thoughts on Mii? I think we kind of discussed it to death at this point. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about it in the weeks to come. But what I mean, where is your excitement level on this? And when the console does launch, do you think that it's going to be a major hit like the Wii was, or is it going to be a little bit less so of a hit? I mean, what do you think, Harrison?
I believe the console itself will be a hit, but I don't think it will have as much as like that moving base that like the Wii had established. Because one thing that is hoping Nintendo is banking on is trying to not only get that casual market that they so like developed, you know, like grew with the Wii, but also the one market that they've been desperately trying to get for like the past generation and a half is the hardcore audience. Now, obviously, as being the first console out of the gate, that's the one thing, you know, once Nintendo said that they were going to be the first one out as far as this generation, that itself was like the first flag for me. I'm like, okay, I hope you take the right precautions as far as, you know, make this console as like powerful as possible, so that way once these competitors come out, you're not underpowered and, you know, you're not on dated hardware. Now, another success that this is also banking on is like whether or not, you know, third party developers are going to use the full extent of the gamepad. I mean, hopefully, you know, is it making sure that this does not go, I mean, obviously when the Wiimote was first announced, the possibilities itself, you know, were very endless. I mean, where this thing could go, and, you know, Nintendo published titles really showed where that controller could go. And it was only showed in, like, you know, slight flashes, you know, with, like, third-party developers. But, obviously, you know, the one word we don't want to hear so much right now that doesn't pop – I mean, obviously, there were some in the launch window, but it's shovelware. Mm-hmm, we don't want to see that kind of, like, you know, flooding itself. But, again, with major consoles with any console that's selling very well, the shovelware is going to come. But we don't want that to be so saturated with shovelware that – the gamepad is being underutilized. That itself is going to be on there, and hopefully that they, you know, since there's so many control options out there, hopefully we're not going to see anything that's going to get lost in translation. You know, I believe hopefully Nintendo sells these Wii Motion Pluses, like, you know, at a lower price, just to, you know, get more people to have these in their hands. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, but I do. It's going to be as far as a success, but I don't think it's going to be Nintendo's best-selling console out there. And as far as my excitement level, I'm excited to have a new Nintendo console in my hands. But I'm just not in that level of excitement I was when the Wii came out, because at that time, you know, motion gaming was new to all of us, and I would just want, and I had never held a Wiimote in my hand. Obviously with the same thing with the gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to play this. I was like, I want to see how this thing interacts. I mean, once I had seen the videos and, you know, demonstrations, I was like, okay, I'm ready to see what Nintendo's message is that they're trying to build with this. And whereas with this gamepad, I'm excited to see is, like, you know, where this can go and, you know, what the look and feel of this, how it's going to be, you know, with, like, not only the casual titles, but with, the, you know, the titles that cater to the hardcore gamer. But I'm just excited to see, you know, where Nintendo goes with their, you know, with their online interface that, you know, they're very, very vague about. But I'm excited, but not in the same level as I was with the Wii.
Right. So, Scott, I mean, what's your excitement level? Do you what do you think about this Wii U? Is it going to be this huge blockbuster hit like the Wii was?
Well, I think my excitement level is right up there at 11. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely, you know, really exciting to get it. I mean, it's a Nintendo a new Nintendo system console. How can I not be excited about it? I mean, it's a lot like the Wii, but with the addition of the gamepad, that alone is what's going to set it apart. My one concern, as Harrison kind of mentioned there, is what is the third-party support for this gamepad going to be? I mean, obviously, PS3 and Xbox 360 don't have that. Mm-hmm. So if there's any cross-platform games, you know, are they going to do something different for the Wii U that they don't do for the other systems? I'm not too sure about that. I think they're going to keep the same game on all three systems and basically create it to, you know, tailor it to each system, but I don't think those third-party games cross-platform are going to do a lot with the gamepad other than maybe using it to open up menus and stuff like that. Hopefully I'm wrong, because I think that the gamepad has a huge, huge potential there. I think that the hardcore gamers, I think that Nintendo's finally going to get them on board with this system. You know, I think that with some of the games, like bringing the Assassin's Creed 3 and the Call of Duty Black Ops and some of the other games out there, I think it's really going to bring some of the hardcore gamers onto it. Mm-hmm. I think one area that they might be missing out on, and there's really not much they can do to move them over here, but is like the retirement home communities and maybe some special need communities and so on, because a lot of those communities purchase this system for therapeutic reasons, for the Wiis. And you know, I remember when the Wii first launched, every news station that was on, all five of our local news anchors and our news channels, they all had a story on almost nightly about how some retirement community or whatnot was using, you know, Wii bowling or whatnot to help get people active and you know, bring them together for a little competition and so on. And they were just all the time on the news.
Yeah, and I even remember them doing that in like schools too, like get kids active.
Absolutely. And those places though, they've got the systems already. So I mean, they're probably not going to be so willing to upgrade to the Wii U, unless, you know, of course, something happens to their system and it gets broken or whatnot. Maybe they'll upgrade. But I think we're going to miss out on a lot of those sales. But I'm hoping that the hardcore gamers will help make up for those sales.
Right, yeah.
And, Scott, you mentioned about as far as, like, news reports, like, when the Wii, like, you know, the Wii phenomenon was first coming out, when the console released. When the price and the release date for the Wii U was announced, Kotaku had posted a video, like a video clip of various news stations who were confused by the Wii U because they were very unsure whether or not it was they weren't sure if it was a new console altogether or just like an add-on that itself. They thought the gamepad itself was something to add to your own Wii console, and they were pretty clueless as to what it was without doing their information. And I just found that kind of hilarious, but also kind of scary because that's one thing I hope the casual market doesn't feel like. They feel like they don't see this as, oh, why should I buy this? Can I just buy the gamepad and go with my Wii? I'm like, no, this is an all-new console, because I feel like the console itself, not the gamepad, is very, very similar. It's like, you know, just almost a mirror image of the regular Wii console, except for, you know, an HDMI ports and just a curved design.
Right.
Well, I'm hoping that the closer we get to the holiday season, the more news coverage and so on we'll get. I mean, I think the one downside of the actual official announcement was that it was the day after the iPhone announcement. Unfortunately, the iPhone is going to win out every single time in that battle. So the news was just all over the iPhone, and you know, I honestly didn't see any information on the Wii U, except for I was downstairs at work getting coffee in our little commons area, and on the TV they always have one news station on, you know, usually with stocks and so on. And I saw one little blurb at the bottom where it said Wii U or next generation Wii console out, you know, coming out or announced today. And, you know, it said next generation Wii console. It didn't even say Wii U. So, I mean, I wasn't able to stay down long enough to actually see if there was an actual segment on it. But my thought is that there probably wasn't. It was probably just a scroll at the bottom and that was it. So I hope that it's going to get more and more news time, and I think it will. You know, it's going to definitely be one of the hot items this holiday season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's going to be one of those things that obviously, like last time, I think it will be sold out. It's going to be hard to find, honestly. I think it will be, and I think that what's going to happen is, you know, that alone is going to bring it up. But then again, you know, this holiday season they just brought the Furby back out too, so I mean I'm hoping that those two aren't gonna battle with each other.
Yeah, right.
Oh, 1998 is finally back right now. I just love this little time warper finally coming in. I mean, I'm looking forward to my Tamagotchi release coming back. But no. Wait, funny you mentioned as far about the iPhone though. As like I had a friend of mine who was following the coverage as well, and he had a little very harsh words to say about the console's price, but I had to chime in to say to him, like, so says the person who buys a new iPhone every year.
Yeah.
And after that, he just kind of – he stood in his tracks. I was like, you were sane.
Yeah, right. Right. Well, it's – yeah, that's – that's crazy. I and, you know, Apple – kind of going on to a different subject there is I just can't believe how they have just I don't know, they just owned that market. I mean, iPhone is so super popular, and they're gonna, I mean, yeah, Wii's gonna be popular this year, but nothing like the iPhone 5 is, and that's just a phone. Right. it's crazy to me.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, but well, anyways, I mean, so it's kind of moving on from the Wii U topic. We actually kind of partnered up this last week with one of a Kickstarter that is actually pretty fantastic, because we were just talking about how the Nintendo Power magazine is kind of going under, and it's going to be all over here come December time. But in comes Pure Nintendo, and they're going to be launching a magazine initiative. And Scott, I think you actually were the one that posted this on the Infendo.com. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, definitely. The purenintendo.com, it's an online, currently an online site that, similar to Infendo, does Nintendo news. They're specifically Nintendo, similar to us. However, they're working on moving into the actual magazine subscription department. You know, they're looking at not only a subscription that can be delivered to your door, but also an online or email subscription service also. And it looks pretty fantastic. One of the creators there, Nate, he actually provided us with a copy of the issue number 6, which, if you go to the article on Infendo and just click on the little picture at the top of the screen, at the top of the article, you can be directed to a PDF version of the publication. Mm-hmm. And it looks fantastic. I mean, it's own magazine, but it's still, it has a lot of, at least when I collected and subscribed to the Nintendo Power, it reminds me a lot of the magazine.
Right.
So it's one of the only Nintendo only magazines out there at this point. Now they're trying to raise about $20,000 by October 11th to get the project up and running. But there's some really cool items if you do pledge. Starting at $20, if you pledge, you'll get a 1-year subscription, which is going to be six issues of the magazine. It's going to be every other month.
Mm-hmm.
If you pledge at the $350 mark, you get a Pure Nintendo hoodie. And then everything from the previous levels also.
Mm-hmm.
So if you help them out and you help get this off the ground, I mean, you're going to be given some gifts to go along with it.
Right.
And the really cool thing is that Nate, who he responded to one of the readers' questions within the comment section. One of the readers was wondering, you know, his concern was that using the Nintendo name and so on, is that going to be a copyright infringement or a trademark issue or whatnot? And Nate had actually said that that he wanted to respond personally, and that using the Nintendo name, that they're in communication with Nintendo right now, and until they have official approval, which is on its way, they won't be using any official logos or slogans. So, you know, I thought it was kind of cool that he responded to the post and so on. And some of the regular readers actually looked at the PDF and were really happy with what they've provided with.
Yeah, it actually looks pretty fantastic. I mean, if you guys that are listening want to, you know, contribute to this at all, I mean, he's at about, I'm looking at it right now, I think about 20% to his goal. So he's got quite a bit of ways to go. So, I mean, any little bit of donation can help. He's got 28 backers right now for $4,255. So he's got a little bit of a way. So it's going to take, you know, fans like us to, you know, to kind of get this off the ground. I mean, I pledged the $20 actually myself. So hopefully, I actually kind of can't wait to get these magazines in the mail. I haven't had a magazine subscription in years. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So it should
and we got to remember too that, you know, it's a minimum $1 pledge. I mm-hmm. mean, so any little bit will help them out. And also keep in mind that if they don't reach that 20,000 goal, as with any other Kickstarter project, you don't owe them anything. So the money doesn't actually come out of your payment method until the project reaches its goal. So it's kind of a win-win situation either way.
Right. Did you get the chance to look at the magazine at all, Harrison?
Yes, I did. And
I've actually been in a little bit of contact with one of the people behind, well, obviously both of us, whatever, for this Kickstarter campaign by a man by the name of Nate Sylvia. Mm-hmm. And yep. I really do appreciate, you know, that the fact that he's trying to keep, you know, Nintendo-centered, like, magazines alive. And personally, I've been discussing, like, emailing him back and forth, and hopefully soon, probably the next podcast or so, we can actually, you know, I'm trying to actually, you know, have him on here, you know, to kind of discuss this project.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be fantastic, yeah.
It would, and, you know, just that, and this is kind of a good send-off as far as, you know, once Nintendo Power ends, which... ends in December, we were able to get this. And, you know, I mentioned a couple podcasts ago, you know, Kickstarter has really opened up a lot of good opportunities, though, as far, like, for, you know, little projects like this, you know, be it, like, you know, indie films, little, like, convenient little projects, and even little gaming conventions. For instance, I said, I did mention this in the last podcast, that gaming website ScrewAttack, you know, they've been trying to get their ScrewAttack gaming convention back in order, and it's been gone, like, they haven't held it in 2 years, mm-hmm. and they were able to finally, you know, pledge the $100,000, like, you know, funding for it, you know, well over it, even though for a while I was thinking they weren't going to get the money for it. And this also kind of brought me back, whatever, to, for all readers, when I posted a article about a 25th anniversary Punch-Out, you know, encyclopedia, mm-hmm. which in itself amazes me that this the guy behind this was able to find, you know, a 250 page, you know, encyclopedia of all things Punch-Out.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Personally, I would actually just want a PDF of that because of a hardcore, hardcover version of that. I don't know, I'm not sure, but that project itself, I think, is about $3,000 or so away from, its own funding. But, mm-hmm. but yeah, I like where Nate Sylvia is going with this project, and, I mean... gaming journals and projects like that really need to stay alive. I mean, obviously with the changing world, like changing bits of, like, you know, print to online, and, you know, several, like, you know, gaming magazines going under, this is really good to see it out there, and I really like how it's bi-monthly, so you're not really sacrificing your cost to actually put this. I mean, you're giving people to wait a little bit longer for this issue. So that itself, I'm glad we can have actually to do that, but I'm really liking this.
Yeah, me too. I mean, if you, like I said, if you guys want to pledge, Kickstarter.com, I mean, that's the place to do it. And I'm sure every little dollar is going to help them out. And hopefully they meet their goal, because that would just be super cool to have another Nintendo magazine on the market. I mean, and hopefully his reader base can grow from there, you know? So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of about it for everything but the reader mail. And we had a couple of good reader questions this week, too. So I think we should just jump right in with that. So I will read Thomas's question. So we kind of touched on this a little bit, but he said, so with Bayonetta 2 announced on the Wii U only, and many fans outraged that it won't be released on the PS3 or Xbox 360, what are your reactions, and do you think that it'll eventually release for the other two consoles? And before we answer his question, if you want to join the podcast just like Thomas did, make sure to email us at tips@infinito.com or just comment on this post once it's up. So, Harrison, why don't you start us off? We kind of touched on this already, but what do you think about this Bayonetta 2 debacle?
It's all going to depend on sales of how this thing goes, and I mean that's generally what you usually see with a lot of console exclusives that will go off to other multi-platform. But in the case of this one, since it's being published by Nintendo, but I also believe that Sega's kind of like a few of the members who worked with Sega are overlooking this one. I doubt this goes multi-platform if it's published by Nintendo. So, I mean, obviously, I'm sure that they could probably make loop room to have this published by someone else if it's released multi-platform. But my short answer is no.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I'm kind of with you there. I don't really think that it's going to be published on other consoles, only because Nintendo's already going to be putting that money forth, and I'm sure they don't want other consoles to benefit from something that they're going to be putting all this money to publish a game on. You know, I mean, that's why you don't see Mario or Zelda on Xbox 360, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. And with its publishing titles, I mean, you also got to think about this. I mean, the idea of this character being in the next Super Smash Brothers is a very high possibility, so that's that.
Yeah, that's kind of neat too. That's for sure.
Right.
I mean, what do you think, Scott? Do you have a strong opinion about this Bayonetta 2 thing that's going on here?
Well, I guess first, you know, Thomas actually he was actually a guest host on our show once, so I think it's great to you know that he's a you know, that he's still continuing to listen to us and, mm-hmm. and so on. So, you know, thanks for listening, Thomas. I think that, you know, as far as fans being outraged, I mean, I think we kind of hit on it earlier. I mean, in the end, be happy that it's actually coming out. I mean, as we stated, it really wasn't even scheduled to be out. So I think that's the big thing, you know, that it's actually going to be here. As far as it being on other systems, you know, I really, really doubt it, you know, due to the Nintendo ties there. But unless there was something in the contract that says that after, you know, so long or due to certain sales or whatnot, you know, some sort of clause put in the contract, I think that we're not going to see it anywhere else.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I think that's great for Nintendo. I mean, every console needs their reason for people to buy it, and this might just be one that's going to push some hardcore people to buy Wii U, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, you know, that announced exclusivity, I mean, it's essentially, you know, the first shots have been fired for this, you know, generation war. I mean, obviously, I don't think there's been a proper console. I mean, you have this, there's competition between three, but I don't think there's been a proper console war since
I'd say Sega Nintendo.
Yeah.
I
mean, there hasn't been a real one like that as far as, like, you know, market shares kind of split down the middle. I mean, when you have three competitors, I mean, you have, like I said, you have Nintendo with a very large install base right now. Obviously, you can make the case as far as, like, you know, the casual gamers who have this, you know, buy this Wii console and they don't usually play it that many of that often. It's collecting dust. But I believe it does have, like, you know, off the top of my head, has, like, a good install base of at least more than half, like, at least 60%. And, of course, everything else is kind of divvied up between 360 and, like, you know, PlayStation 3. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is just math going on top of my head. I mean, you know, feel free to argue against this, whatever. I mean, I'm just saying right now that as far as this generation right now is, you can argue whether or not people who play the Wii console right now, given the state of it right now, well, given that we're having another console out, we're talking about money here. It made the most money out of the three.
Right. Yeah, right. And it you're right. You hit it right on the nose there. That a lot of people tend to forget, but it is the most popular console this generation. It has sold the most units, and you can take that how you will. Like you said, I mean, maybe some people are not buying games for it, but at the same time, you can't ignore that number there. I mean, you can't ignore the market share that Nintendo's created with the Wii.
Exactly. And I think you also have to look at, you know, the fact that the Wii system has basically been the Wii system from launch. I mean, there's been very, very minor changes done to the system itself, the core system. Obviously, we got Wii Motion, the system started coming in black, but it's very, very minor. You know, when you come to the Xboxes and the PS3s, you know, they've added, you know, they've changed the style of the systems. You know, they're coming out with the PS3 Slim here shortly. They've changed the memory included in there, and they've done a lot of tweaks to keep it new and so on. The Wii really, really hasn't done a lot in those ways, so it's been self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So, thanks, Thomas, again, for sending in your question. It's great that you're continuing to listen to us, and we really, really appreciate all the questions that y'all are sending. So Game Machine Joe actually wrote in for us as well. You want to read that for us, Scott?
It says, "Hi there. I've listened to every single podcast, and I love the evolution of it. But my question for you guys is, as a kid, I remember official Nintendo Mario toys being very hard to come across. Now you can get an official Mario backpack, Yoshi coffee mug, or a Wario calculator anywhere. I wanted to know wondered where there were any Nintendo toys that you've ever had or remember wanting growing up and when Nintendo toys were more scarce. I know for myself, you know, Nintendo toys, you know, when I was younger, were very, very scarce. I mean, it was at the beginning of the Nintendo era, and you know, really the only thing that I could really get my hands on were the posters from the games, and I got those from a local video store, you know, from the boxes and so on. So not a lot of toys back then. I mean, I can remember there were maybe a few here and there. But nothing that I really owned, especially being younger, not having a job or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So not a whole lot. But, I mean, as far as, you know, stuff that I've wanted now, you know, there's just a lot out there. I mean, there's been a lot of things that maybe aren't Nintendo licensed and so on, such as, like, various hard drives and so on that include Nintendo items and so on. So kind of some mods. I think that's where I'd more go through the actual mods.
Right, right. Did you ever purchase any Nintendo toys or anything like that, Harrison, or do you even remember any from when you were a kid?
One thing I want to bring up, Okay, okay. In the email, you mentioned a Wario calculator. I'm not sure how this thing works. I mean, I'm not sure if it like works as far as the same as a regular calculator. I'm sure if you're doing like your tax information, and once you actually get to like, you know, the main amount, like the main sum, it just says it's very voice activated and basically Wario takes all your money. So I'm not sure how that's gonna work out. But anyway, but no, the only kind of Nintendo toys that I've ever had, but was when I was like about 3 or 4, the release of Super Mario Brothers 3, McDonald's had put out like a couple, like, you know, Happy Meal toys for like, you know, that, and those are the main mainstream ones I know that were out in the market. But as far as to buying them, there really isn't a main store really you can buy that, but except for like the Nintendo World Store in New York City, or. And this is according to Urban Legend. I mean, obviously, well, you can – or I'm mentioning about Nintendo's main offices in Redmond, Washington. For when Nintendo's new office is up there, because they just built a new building up there, they moved into their, like, old – like, they moved away from their old Redmond offices that I believe that were closely, like, next door to Microsoft. But I think but I think they're still in the same area. But it was a Kotaku or a joystick article that they sent one of the reporters there to actually, you know, see and like report from the new office. The thing is, he couldn't take photos in there. I mean, there was a certain point in the offices that you couldn't, so, but he was allowed to describe it. Now, the one with the, hey, if you do have time and money, go up there, pose as a journalist, because what one of these few journalists that have actually gone up there to do it was, they were given free gift cards to the little like Nintendo store that were exclusive. Yeah, they were that were exclusive to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So the guy just wanted to like hold spending spree. I'm guessing the reason why because you know he was covering the whole like you know the unveiling of the building. But I mean the Nintendo World Store. But if you buy a lot of Nintendo published games, the next best thing I could probably say is go through Club Nintendo. They have some great little stuff there. I mean, obviously, it's a little scarce right now because everything's being sold out. But do that, and if you save up enough, like, you know, coins, which, of course, is based on the points, you know, that you get from registering and putting, like, the ID to these games, you'll get a nice little prize to it. But, of course, you know, the last prize I got was buttons, which was much to my disappointment that I didn't get them.
Right.
Yeah. I wanted that Mario figurine so bad, but I didn't have enough time or money to get that.
Well, I actually, now that I think about it, I forgot about Club Nintendo, that they have the little toys and stuff like that on their store. So that's kind of neat too. Yeah. So, but right now though, I don't really covet anything Nintendo wise toys or anything like that. I mean, I've got a couple of plushes, like Yoshi plushes and stuff like that, but I do definitely miss from back in the day Nintendo cereal. I would go to the supermarket and make a beeline to the Nintendo cereal section or to the cereal section so I can get myself a box of that. I just thought that was super awesome. It was just, I mean, I'm eating Mario cereal. This is great.
Right. Well, I think back to that, I mean, Captain and the Game Master every Saturday morning, that was where I was. I mean, that was just perfect. I mean, and I want to thank Harrison also for making me feel my age by saying he was 3 when the Happy Meal toys came out.
Hey, I still have those. I do. They're somewhere like in my dad's old office with there. I'm in just judging that. I think I'm just going to bust those things out and use as a little ornament. But
that's funny. Nice. Yeah, I do remember though, actually, when I was I want to say like 9 or 10, and then I we had taken a trip to the flea market, and in the shadiest corner of the most sketchiest part of the flea market, this guy was trying to sell like these Nintendo, I don't even remember what they were. They were like race cars or something, like little matchbox cars, but they had like Mario's face and Luigi's face kind of on them, and I was like, now I'll pass. It's gonna be all right. We're not gonna buy this today. So I thought that was kind of funny. That, but yeah, that's the only other type of Nintendo toys that I can think of.
Now, when you mentioned the Nintendo cereal, there was not like a standalone one. It was just that and the Legend of Zelda cereal, because it came in that weird packaging. Because, I mean, I never did eat it, but I just remember like when people still had the boxes, and yes, they did end up eating this 20-year-old cereal. These are the same type. Yeah, these are the same type of people who actually like have like, you know, like so old sodas like Surge or like Crystal Pepsi, for instance, and they're like, you know what?
yeah, I'm going to test this out, and then it's just the wincing of pain of, like, you know, the look of, like, right. This was a bad idea. But no, like, the Nintendo cereal was, like, it didn't – you know, when you open up a bag of cereal, it comes in a very large bag, whatever. But in this case, it was two separate bags. So
yeah.
Anytime when you were done eating, I mean, imagine if, I don't know, say for – who knows? If – I could just picture some kid, whatever, like, probably, like, 20 or, like, 25-year-old or something like that, you know. That's one of his cereals out there. Yeah. He comes back. He's loaded from the bar, whatever, and you know, both bags are open. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna eat this right now. And you know, it's just a mess of Mario and Legend of Zelda cereal. And it's like, oh wow, who cares? And it's they all get mixed up.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, I was just gonna go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say that I forgot about the Zelda cereal too, and that makes me happy, and I wish that it would come back.
Well, if you want it, I just found a box here online for $61.
Oh gosh.
That's our next podcast. It's just basically we're gonna order each one for ourselves, and we're just gonna be discussing whatever next week, and just eat the cereal. Like, we're just gonna eat the cereal, you know, with all our munching sounds recorded. We're
so
gonna
what
do
is
that.
This, like Russian roulette, who dies first from eating 20-year-old cereal?
we'll top it off with some 20-year-old milk.
Yeah, that's right. Some Nintendo branded milk from Yoshi's. Never mind. That's bad.
Okay, let's leave it at that. I think where you were going as far as that description was about a little risque for the podcast.
Well, that's good. That's funny. That was actually a really good question. Thanks for sending that in for us.
Segue into the next one.
Yeah, right. And so the next one isn't really a question. So it was actually kind of more of a comment. So I'm just going to kind of read it from Tom Morrison from Australia, all the way over there. That's fantastic that we have readers or listeners from there. But he said, it's great to have Nintendo Radio again. Keep up the awesome work, guys. You're doing a great job. I'm excited for the podcast after the Nintendo Direct event, which you just got tonight, and to hear your thoughts about the latest information about Wii U. I'll be listening. So thanks, Tom, and all of our listeners. I mean, we really, really do appreciate everything that you all do. I mean, even though we were kind of just doing this for you all, it's great that we are hearing this feedback, you know? So from there, I guess we can just kind of transition into what we've been playing over the last couple of weeks, if anything, because I know I haven't – I'll tell you right now, I haven't played a darn thing at all. So, Scott, have you played anything interesting lately?
Very, very little. I mean, between an actual – my daytime job and writing, working on the first chapter of my novel and, mm-hmm. and trying to get some final details and a bio submitted for my latest publication. I mean, it's been pretty busy. I did finish Twooey on the iOS.
Oh, nice.
You know, I think that, you know, I knew a lot about the game going into it, but I realized I didn't know a lot of the big details. And I've got to say, it's probably one of my after finishing the game, it's probably one of my favorite games ever.
Yeah, glad you're liking it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's awesome. I'm going through the second playthrough right now to try to get all the extras and so on to get some of the final clues and so on. But other than that, last night, actually probably around 1:30, maybe even closer to 2 in the morning, I just couldn't sleep. So on the iOS, I was actually just started The Secret of Mana. So you know, it's a little bit I guess a little bit harder to control right now on the iOS, but I think that once I really get into it, it'll get a little bit easier. I just started it, so I'm barely into the game.
Now, have you played Secret of Mana like on the SNES? Did you ever play the original? Okay.
Yeah, back in the day, I beat that one, so it's been so long ago, though. I mean, I barely remember a lot of it. I mean, there's a few things here and there, but with the newer graphics and so on, it's going to definitely be a brand new game all over again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Great. Well, Harrison, what have you been playing at this moment?
I just finally got myself to actually, you know, unwrap my $7 copy of Sin and Punishment Star Successor.
Oh, nice!
Which I got off. Yeah, I got that off of Amazon. Like once, I think it was like early in the beginning of this past summer that Amazon was selling these for like about $7. And since, you know, the game didn't really sell well in the States, I was like, you know what? I like Treasure Pat. I loved Ikaruga, and I never did get a chance to play the first like Sin and Punishment. No, I haven't. It's available on the Wii U Virtual Console, but I did get to. I barely got into that, but short thoughts on though.
the same thing you can expect from Treasure as far as, like, when it comes to, like, you know, a standard on-rail shooter, you know, you can expect a very, like, you know, steep, it's like a steep difficulty curve, very good fast-paced action. I mean, obviously, it's not so much good to look at, not to say it's ugly, but given the hardware when it came out, but so far, I've been having pretty well with it, although I can definitely say that hands can get really, really tired as far as, like, you know, pushing the firing button on this one. And this is not even a normal difficulty, because I assume, like, okay, if I go, I knew what I was getting to as far as the way when it comes to Treasure's, like, idea of how hard it can be, what hard is compared to normal.
Right.
And I assume, okay, I'm probably in for some deep stuff here as far as, like, you know, hopefully I'm not smashing my controller or anything like that, but I get into that, and yeah, a few times I've been, like, dying, like, here and so off them, but, you know, I haven't had that much of a time. I mean, it's just a bunch of trial and error when it comes to as far as, like, trying to defeat a boss, I mean, which I'm mostly dying for.
Yeah, it actually kind of is a tough game. I remember I played it mostly with a partner, with a friend, so that was really fun. But it was I think it was a little bit more fun single player, just because it was wasn't so hectic. I mean, there was a lot going on when you play it with co-op, you know, when you play it with two people. So, but yeah, it's definitely a great game. I like Treasure a lot, and I'm glad that that game ended up coming to the Wii. So yeah, like I said, me haven't been playing anything at all, unfortunately. Life's too hectic right now, so I didn't get the pleasure of playing anything. Although I did pick up a copy of Borderlands 2, and it's just kind of sitting there mocking me. So I'm kind of excited to tear that one apart.
Nice.
Yeah. So do you guys have any final thoughts? Anything you want to plug, like your Twitter handles and all that fun stuff?
Sure thing. Twitter for me is at EsselPratt, or you can go to EsselPratt.com. It's kind of a new website I'm working on for not only my Infendo and Nerdsy writings, but also my other writings and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Or Facebook / EsselPratt writing.
Great, great. And Harrison, why don't you give us your plugs and all that fun stuff? Oh, maybe we lost a Harrison. Let's see. Oh, yeah, Well, Harrison got cut off, but my Twitter handle is Infendo_Eugene, and then you can find me there. I just talk a lot about I don't know, just soccer and whatever's on my mind at the time. And unfortunately, we lost Harrison here at the end of the podcast, but his handle is H. Melfeld, and you can find all his Twitter fun stuff there. He's talks a lot about soccer stuff. He actually has a pretty fun Twitter handle there. So with that, unfortunately, Harrison is lost, but we are done with the podcast today. Thank you all for listening, and for Harrison and myself and Scott, we'll see you all next time.
See you next time.